Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm Vivek Kumar. I'm from Rice University. This work was done during my affiliation with AU, and my co-authors are Julian Dolby from IBM Research and Steve Blackburn from AU. So the title of the talk is Integrating Asynchronous Task Parallelism in Data-Centric Atomicity. So in 1990s and early 2000s, single CPU performance was getting better and better. So software vendors use this opportunity to make programmer more productive by adding more and more cool features in the software. But now, that's not possible. So it initially started with multi-core CPUs, and then we have AMPs, and today we also have GPUs, or different type of accelerators, for example, DSPs as well. So now, this free lunch is over. It's very difficult to program this kind of hardware architecture. So the challenge with the programming community is facing today are in terms of these three points, that is productivity, performance, and portability. We call this as a 3P challenge. So what are the options to overcome this challenge? So in terms of productivity, for programming on that kind of parallel architecture, we have to do two things. First, we have to make sure that we'll be doing lots of things at once. We say that as parallelism. And we also will be dealing with lots of things at once. So that is concurrency. So we have to do parallelism and concurrency. And what are the options? So for parallelism, you can just take the standard old approach of using threads, or the modern approach of fork join, which is there in Java also, as well as async finish explicit parallel programming model, which was introduced by Extend and also now available in Habanero Java, which RJ just mentioned. And for dealing with concurrency, the options are locks, transactions, or the isolated keyword in Habanero Java. RJ, I think, mentioned about this also. And so what about performance? So we have identified the, let's say the programmer has identified the parallelism using async finish. So that's very programmatic and very productive. So how he can deal with the performance? So the programmer can simply rely on the work ceiling scheduling. So anyone familiar here with the work ceiling scheduling? Okay, cool. So I'll briefly just tell what it is. So in work scaling, you have a thread pool. Mostly it's like one thread per core, and each of the thread has its own double-ended queue. We call that as deck. So these are the deck we have. And the thread, which creates a new task using the construct async. So async is creating a parallel task. So whenever you create a task, you push it to your own deck from this end. And then, once you are done creating all the tasks, then you pop back the task from the same end. And then, once you are done solving all the tasks on your deck, then you are basically idle. So you have to get more tasks. So to do that, this thread will steal tasks from the other thread. To steal, he identifies the victim, which is having tasks available on its deck, and grabs it from the other end of the queue. So the push and pop is from this end, and the seal is from the other end. So it's pretty scalable. And so for portability, what are the options? The programmer can rely on a managed runtime, for example, Java virtual machines, to hide hardware complexities. Now, we have seen that for productivity and performance, we need to ensure that these two things are very much productive and give best performance, that is parallelism and concurrency. So, but for parallelism, we also have to ensure that we expose the right amount of task or right amount of parallelism. So I'm talking now with respect to the async finish programming model. Now, if you expose too much of async or too much of task, you can actually lead to overheads, though that's not good. So in our previous work, I'll come to that also. We have shown how much is the overhead for exposing extra task. So basically, it's the programmer's responsibility to expose right amount of parallelism. He can do that using granularity control. He can write a program wherein he can say create asyncs. But if I have created these many asyncs, or if my computation has reached up to this much solution, then stop creating any more async. So that's the programmer responsibility, and that's not scalable. It can work of one type of architecture where you have, let's say, two cores, and it may not scale well on 100 cores. So that's not scalable. So this is a challenge. And in terms of concurrency, all the concurrency approach which I just mentioned in the previous slide, log, transactions, isolated, they are all control-centric. What do I mean by control-centric is that it's the programmer's responsibility to go and look into the code at which all place he should have a proper synchronization. And if he doesn't do that, it can lead to data reset and deadlocks. Now, I'll come to the contribution of this work. So we introduce a new parallel programming model, which we say AJWS, that is Atomic Java with Work Stealing. We give five annotations in Java to expose task parallelism and data-centric concurrency control. I'll talk about data-centric concurrency control in further slides. And then we have compiler transformation of this AJWS model into vanilla Java that uses a very efficient work stealing runtime, which we implemented in our prior work, which is very efficient and very low overhead. We also do a detailed performance study using three large open source Java applications. We take the open source application and use their way of parallelism and concurrency and write it in AJWS. And then we evaluate the performance with respect to the original version on a multi-core smartphone. And then we show the results, which says that AJWS improves both productivity as well as performance. Let's start with a motivating analysis. So we have a bank transaction code that looks something like this. You have an account class where you have, let's say, a field called balance, and you have several methods which operates on that particular field. So this is a constructor. You have a void interest. So actually my slides got slightly changed due to Mac and Windows. Okay, anyway, so here then we have a method called interest. What we do here, we have a number of bank accounts where we just iterate over all the accounts and run the interest. We compute the interest. So if you see, this can be done in a parallel. So basically this is a parallel for it. So what are the options we have to parallelize it? You can use threads, for instance, or Java fork join to do that. But that will, both of these approach will require extensive code change for that. So again, that is a productivity issue. Now, instead of that, we can use a finish and async construct. Again, I apologize for the slides overlap just because of shifting from Mac to Windows. So what we do here, we use the async finish feature. Let's say have another Java, how we can do that. We can write that this particular statement can be run in parallel with all the other iterations of the for loop. So we use an async feature, and we want to synchronize once we exit the for loop, that we want to wait until all the tasks has been finished. So we say that using a construct called finish. Now, that's an elegant way, because programmer, it improves the productivity. But wait, what about the task granularity? If there are millions of accounts here, then creating a task for each and every account, you are basically creating millions of tasks, and that will lead to overhead. So programmer has to ensure that he controls the granularity of the task. For example, in this case, he might chunk the for loop. So he can say that let's have two or three account as one iteration, as part of one async. So you create lesser number of async to control that. But again, it will vary. The performance will vary from different architectures. So it's giving productivity, but not the performance. Now, instead of that, the programmer can use a try-catch work stealing, which we introduced in our prior work in Uppsala 12. We implemented the work stealing inside the JVM, and which has extremely low overhead. So, and by using this runtime, programmer doesn't have to do any more granularity control. He can simply expose a task into any finer granularity as he wants, and the runtime ensures that there are no overheads. But that was a part of Extend language which we have. So the programmer, we don't want to force the programmer to learn Extend. Now let's go take this example further. So we have now interest method. We also have another class transfer, where we transfer from one account to another account. So we do debit and then we credit to a different account. And again we have a method called fund transfer, where we have n number of pending transfers and we run over each of them. So if you see, these two things can happen in parallel. So if you are running both these two methods in parallel, then we have to think about concurrency, because these code blocks can lead to databases as well as deadlock. So we'll see that. Now, what is the option? What is the simplest way the programmer can control the concurrency? He can use locks here. So he can take a lock on the object on which the account on which you want to run this method, and then unlock. Similarly here, take lock from on both the destination and source, and then unlock them. But if you see, this will deadlock. And why is that? So you have two threads which are running transaction from source to destination, as well as the other one is doing from destination to source. Now to do that, first they will take lock, and then the second time other thread will try to take a lock, it is a deadlock, right? So that's how we do it. It will deadlock. This approach cannot run forward. So again, this is a programmer's responsibility to ensure he writes the correct code. So to control the concurrency and enhance programmers' productivity, we rely on Dolby et al.'s prior work, that is data-centric annotations. So what is the focus of this work is, like, instead of relying on a control-centric approach, you rely on a data-centric approach. So you simply identify the data, the field of a class which is prone to atomic access. So what you have to do, you just create an atomic set and then say that this field balance is a part of that atomic set. So basically here it is atomic annotation with A in the brackets that say that this field is a part of this atomic set. Now all the methods which will operate on this field the compiler ensures that the proper locks are taken when you accessing that method. So it's now the compiler's responsibility rather than the programmer's. So one extra thing we have to note here, that here we want to ensure that the atomicity should be in terms of union of both these two accounts. So we have to synchronize on both accounts together. So for this, the programmer has to write annotations here, atomic from and atomic B, atomic to. So this is the approach of Dolby et al., data-centric annotations. But again, that is not available, it's not open source, so again, it's a problem how to parallelize. So the insights of this work is to integrate async finish task parallelism and data-centric approach for synchronization. And for high-performance load balancing, we rely on JVM implementation of work scaling, which is called tri-cache work scaling. So now coming to the AJWS, or main contribution, AJWS programming model. Now here, the programmer writes code which looks simply like that. So for saying that this particular iteration can be done in parallel, he uses async keyword here. And to ensure synchronization, he uses finish. And these are the data-centric annotations. And then I'll quickly talk about the annotations, which is the part of it, this AJWS programming model. So for parallelism, we use again async and finish. And for data-centric atomicity, we have three annotations. The first one is atomic set, which basically declares a new atomic set and says that any particular field of the class which is declared as atomic A belongs to that particular atomic set. And we have another annotation, that is alias atomic. I don't have an example in this. the slides, but it is there in the paper for this particular annotation. So when this annotation on an object is present on an object inside a class, it means we are unifying two atomic sets together, the atomic set of the object as to the atomic set of that class. So we are trying to doing a merge of two atomic sets. So that's what it indicates. Now let's see how the compiler reads the code from this. So we'll start with the data-centric annotations. Well, let's take the account class. So the compiler will first see that there is an atomic set involved in this particular class. So he will create a lock, ordered lock. So every lock has a counter associated with it. So lock A will also have a counter associated. Now nothing after that. When the constructor is emitted, that lock is allocated. And for each and every method in this class, we generate two versions. The first one is the normal without any suffix like this. And then what it does, the compiler will take lock and then run all the surround that blocks of statement inside that method using synchronized statement here, lock. And there will also be an underscore internal version of that method, which is the default version, default code, and it doesn't use any synchronization. So the reason of these two versions is that once you take a lock, you don't have to again call the same version. You can simply call the underscore internal version of that. So now for the other annotation, which was on the run method. So what happens here when the code is emitted? The compiler generates has to ensure that the locks are taken in such a way that there is no deadlock. To do that, it will see what is the counter associated with each of these locks, and then it will do a sort on that counter and take the lock in the ascending order. So it will first take on lock 0 and then lock 1. And that's how it ensures that there is no deadlock when you run this code. Now coming to the work stealing part, this is the finish and async. So we'll use this interest method and see how the code is emitted for that. So here basically we use our prior work of with the try-catch work stealing, which is basically wrapping the finish and async with a try-catch statement, and the runtime. Okay. The runtime makes sure that the scheduling is done properly. So these are the different try-catch blocks. So what happens? So this is the execution stack of victim and thief. So the victim is now currently operating on the 0th iteration of the for loop, and the thief is idle. He stops the victim using yield point, and then by using onStack replacement, he copies the method stack frame of interest method over onto its own execution stack, and then throws an exception to start the next iteration of the for loop. This is how the runtime uses work stealing. Coming to the implementation, we have open source implementation of this AJWS compiler, and we have used JustStack compilation framework, unlike the Eclipse refactoring, which was using AJ, that is Atomic Java from Dolly Beetle, and Polyglot in extents for try-catch work stealing. And we currently use Java synchronized block for concurrency control, but in future we want to explore several other techniques. And currently we limit that we cannot use async finish inside the atomic section. So coming to the performance evaluation, we have three open source benchmarks, JMetal, JTransform, and SJXP. JMetal is a framework for providing set of classes for multi objective optimization. So for instance, if you want to run and do an investment and you want to ensure you have best return and you want to take a given amount of risk, that is a multi objective problem. So this benchmark does that. There's a multi-threaded FFT library, and it is a XML parser for Android OS. Again, this implementation was sequential. The original implementation of JMetal uses Java executor threads and synchronized block. And for JTransform, there's no synchronized concurrency features, but it uses Java future for parallelism. So we evaluated our experiments on ASUS Zenfone 4-core phone, and the software platform is JAX RVM, Java Virtual Machine. And we take 15 invocation of each experiment with 6 iteration per invocation, and we report the mean of the last iteration in each invocation. So coming to the evaluation of productivity, for JMental, if you see, these are the number of files and these many 28k lines of source code in the original So what we did, we take the original version of each of the benchmark and we remove all the concurrency and features and the parallelism sections, and we created a sequential version of that. So the sequential version of JMetal has 329 files and 28k lines of code. So now if we do the difference of lines of code from sequential to the original, we report that as the programming effort, it was 1.2%, and there were only 6 parallelism blocks and 10 synchronized blocks. So when you see AJWS, we use only 3 atomic annotations, and by using AJWS async finish, and since the programmer doesn't have to do any granularity control, we're able to introduce more parallelism, so we're able to introduce 47 blocks of async finish. But still the effort was just 0.1%. Similarly for JTransforms, it's 42k lines of sequential code, and there were large number of parallel sections, parallel blocks 372, and the overhead of programming was 14.3%. For the same amount of parallelism, we had just 3.7% overhead. For SJXP, the original version is sequential, so we don't show anything over here, but for AJWS, we were using 2 atomic sections and just 1 parallel block. We wrote a different class altogether, so a little bit higher overhead, so 6.5%. Now coming to the performance evaluation. So here, the blue bar shows the original version, and the green bar shows the AJWS result, and we show the speed up over the sequential version. So this is the time taken by sequential divided by the time of the parallel. So if one thing to notice is that at all thread count, AJWS performs much better than the original implementation. The other thing to note is the execution time with single thread. So here, JMetal, they're not using any granularity control, so they were running slower than the sequential version, but even without any granularity control, we were similar to the sequential version. Similar is the case at all other places. For JTransforms, for each of the 300 plus parallel sections, they are doing granularity control. So that's how they were able to match the performance of the sequential version, but we were able to do that without any granular control by using AJWS. So finally, to conclude, AJWS provides annotations in Java to enhance productivity in parallel programming. We have prototype implementation that integrates task parallelism and data-centric atomicity. And by relying on a JVM implementation of runtime, a work-stealing runtime, we ensure high performance load balancing without any overheads. And we did evaluation of AJWS using 3 open source benchmarks, and we show that AJWS is very much productive and has very low syntactic overhead and gives better performance than original versions. Thank you.